Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2179, with the release date of Friday, August 2nd, 2019, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A tragic tower accident in New Hampshire. A tribute to Holocaust refugees. And get ready to meet the Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Young Ham of the Year. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2179 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story this week is Amateur Radio Newsline's own announcement that we have a winner of the 2019 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3V, has the story.
Wow, that's incredible. Wow, thank you.
That's the reaction from Dhruv Reba, KC9 Zulu Juliet X-ray of Normal, Illinois, to his official notification he'd been chosen Newsline's Young Ham of the Year. Reba, who's 15 and going into his sophomore year at the Normal Community High School in the fall, found his way into amateur radio through his father, Harry Reba, Victor Uniform 2, Sierra Papa Zulu.
I first got interested in amateur radio when I was 9 years old, in like fourth grade. So I went to the hamvention with my dad. So my dad's been a ham for a really long time, like 25, 30 years. So he was going to the hamvention with one of his friends from India. So I wanted to tag along. So we went to the hamvention. And there I got to see all the cool stuff, like the keyers, the Morse code keyers, and like all the radios and everything. And I got like really interested, and I started studying for my technician class.
Dhruv got his technician license at 9 and followed it up by earning his general license at 10. He immersed himself in public service activities with the Central Illinois Radio Club for a couple of years and also decided to combine his new hobby with his interest in space. Dhruv says he applied for a contact through the Amateur Radio on the International Space Station, or ARIS, program. It took a couple of applications before he was successful in convincing everyone he could pull it off. Dhruv recalls the big day at the Chittick Junior High School in Normal, Illinois in October 2017.
So I was the control operator at their contact. So I made the original contact. So I called for the ISS and I made the contact with astronaut Joe Acaba. And then I gave the other students to ask questions.
Dhruv became active in AMSAT forums and as a result ended up as a special ambassador and helped the Boy Scouts to carry out their ARIS contact near the end of July during the World Jamboree in West Virginia. Another big adventure in Dhruv's life came when he was selected to join the Dave Coulter Memorial Youth DX Adventure on Curacao Island in July 2018, where he was a member of the PJ2Y team.
We were there for 5 days, and we did phone, Morse code, CW, and we also did digital.
What was your favorite mode to operate from Curacao?
I mainly did phone, and I also did digital.
That PJ2Y team made a record 6,262 contacts with 135 countries over 5 days. Dhruv has maintained close cultural and family ties with India, where he has traveled and spoken about the importance of wireless communications, especially in times of disaster. He's also started a foundation to help underprivileged students and chose India as the location of his first effort, a digital project at a girls' high school in NP Kunta, India, this past January. No stranger to speaking in public, Dhruv has appeared at the youth forums at Dayton and at last fall's AMSAT forum from Huntsville. He's received AMSAT's Presidential Award and was presented a special plaque from the International Space Station crew for what they described as his, quote, exceptional outreach performed professionally by a young person of skill and poise. Dhruv is also into robotics and serves as a mentor for elementary school students in Normal. He also takes part in robotics competitions with a team that most recently finished in fourth place overall at an event in Detroit sponsored by NASA. Speaking of NASA, Dhruv says he has high hopes of one day pursuing a career in aerospace engineering or doing something in the space industry. In the meantime, Dhruv says he's not waiting for college. He's already shooting for the moon.
When I was was at the AMSAT booth at the Hamvention earlier this year. I got involved with the AirX, the Amateur Radio Exploration on the Moon program with AMSAT. So what we're doing is we're designing a amateur radio system to be on the Gateway Space Station in the Moon.
For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V, from Philadelphia.
Dhruv will be recognized by the Amateur Radio Newsline team for his achievement at the Huntsville Hamfest on Saturday, August 17th in Huntsville, Alabama. Meanwhile, in Texas, some teens are getting their first on-the-air contacts as technicians thanks to an innovative program. Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, has the details.
There are some newly minted young hands in Coppell, Texas, and they're proud graduates of an unprecedented effort by local clubs and individual hams who stepped forward to teach them the basics. According to Todd Farrell, WE5TR, it was the first youth-oriented ham class in the school district, and the new technicians are students enrolled in courses through Coppell Gifted Association. They can now get on the air with KC5BY, a repeater that has been installed at Coppell High School with the help of the Denton County Amateur Radio Association, Larry Moyer, K5IMO, David Hauser, KG5RDF, and the district facilities staff. The repeater was something Todd and his son, Connor, WG1GEM, had hoped would pique kids' interests in the hobby. Their dream became a reality when, under the watchful eye of volunteer examiners from the Coppell Amateur Radio Enthusiasts, as well as the Denton and Lake Area groups, all five students passed the July 26 exam. Todd said a second class is in the works for the fall, thanks to another joint adventure, the CGA and the Denton County Hams and the Lake Area Amateur Radio Club, which had provided most of the volunteer teachers for the first five-day course. Meanwhile, youngsters can avail themselves of Todd's home, QTH, to learn HF and contesting as they plan to operate during the special event station of the Louisville Amateur Radio Association on the 28th of September. Be listening for them and add a welcome to your signal report. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
The popular contest logging program N1MM Logger Plus is reaching out to hams around the world, and this time it's in their own languages. Developers are asking for volunteers who can help test the logging program as it becomes available in an experimental version in languages other than English. Al, AB2ZY, is a new member of the development team, and he needs hams who are able to help with the translations and hams who can then test the logger in the translated languages. If you are interested in helping the project, contact him via email and let him know which language you can work with and whether you'd like to be part of the testing process, the translation process, or both. Al can be reached at akozak@hourglass.com. Tragedy has once again struck the amateur radio community. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, has the details.
Another radio tower collapse, this one in Deerfield, New Hampshire, has claimed the life of an amateur radio operator and left a second ham seriously injured. On the 27th of July, Joe Arisaga, K1JGA, was helping Mike Rancourt, K1EEE, take down his tower in preparation for the sale of Mike's home when the tower collapsed, injuring them both. Joe's injuries proved fatal, and as Amateur Radio Newsline went to press, Mike remained hospitalized. According to postings on the newsgroup for the Port City Amateur Radio Club, the tower apparently gave way, having become weakened from water that had accumulated inside two of the structure's legs. According to the account posted online, the hams had just removed the last set of guy wires and were nearly done taking down the tower when tragedy struck. A posting in the Nearfest forum noted that both men were wearing safety belts and were still tethered to the tower when they fell more than 40 feet. The Nearfest posting noted that Joe had been active on the Interstate Repeater Society's Dairy Repeater and was a volunteer in the Nearfest Thursday night campground crew. He was the married father of five and 52 years old when he became a silent key. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N9 IAA repeater in Valparaiso, Indiana, on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. local time. Amateur radio will be doing its part as one New York State community pays tribute to Holocaust refugees who found shelter there during World War II. We have that story from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The words safe haven have taken on a special meaning for residents of Oswego County in central New York State for 75 years. In 1944, under the direction of President Franklin D. Roosevelt, nearly 1,000 Holocaust refugees were transported to the U.S. from overcrowded conditions in Italy and brought to an emergency refugee shelter at Fort Ontario, New York. It was the only shelter established in the U.S. for Holocaust refugees as World War II continued to rage. On the 5th of August, Oswego County will hold a reunion of 19 of the 30 surviving refugees, a gathering that is likely to be the last of its kind. Speakers at various events will include refugees and their families, and dignitaries such as Israeli Ambassador Danny Danon and Kevin Hill, president of the Safe Haven Holocaust Refugee Shelter Museum. Amateur radio will be there too, David Granoff, K3AS, as president of the Fulton Amateur Radio Club, said some of the club's members are operating special event station W2CXV. David, who is also a board member of the Safe Haven Holocaust Museum in Oswego, and a member of the 75th Anniversary Committee, said the amateurs' time on the air will honor the memory of all the 982 Holocaust survivors who found a safe haven in Fort Ontario 75 years ago. Be listening on the 5th of August from noon until 4 p.m. Eastern Time on 20 meters and 40 meters sideband. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
If you find yourself alternately cursing and thanking the 11-year solar cycle for its impact on the HF bands, maybe a little more understanding would help matters. Scientists reported recently that they may have new clues about what forces make the cycle do what it does. Reporting on the Science Alert website, the researchers blame, or perhaps credit, changes in the alignment of the planets. Jupiter, Earth, and Venus exert a gravitational influence on the tides of the solar weather, they say. And when the planets are aligned every 11.07 years, it coincides with a time of solar minimum. German physicist Frank Stefani calls it a clocked process and compares it to the way Earth's tides are influenced by the gravity of the Moon. The research was originally published in the journal Solar Physics. 100 years of ham radio? Well, if you belong to this Ohio club, that's something to celebrate. Here's Jack Parker, W8ISH, with the details.
The Mahoning Valley Amateur Radio Association has a long and distinguished record of service. A few years after its creation, it became the first club in Ohio to become an ARRL affiliate. Its presence in the community has been a steady one for its lifetime, all 100 years of it. That's right, a century. Its members provide communication support to such events as the Special Olympics in the Mahoning County and to the Youngstown Roadrunners and the Youngstown Cityscape. They respond when needed by the National Weather Service Skywarn program and drill to be ready for disasters, including the deadly one that struck in Trumbull County in May of 1985. During that historic tornado, they transmitted reports to the National Weather Service and afterward used radios to provide the Red Cross with help coordinating recovery efforts. So now it's time to party like a 100-year-old deserves to party. Plans are in the works for their birthday party dinner in October. The hams, of course, will be well prepared for that as well. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jack Parker, W8ISH.
In the UK, amateurs are joining with one community center to rally around a local youngster with extreme medical needs. More on that story from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
For this upcoming special event, organizers are hoping hams will listen with their hearts as well as their ears. The Newton Le Willows Amateur Radio Club, MX0NRC, will be operating their station at the Derbyshire Hill Family and Community Centre in St Helens, which is hosting a fundraiser on the 7th of September for a local 15-month-old child who has a host of medical conditions. The club's Lee Leyland, M0LGL, told Newsline that the event is designed to make life easier for the little boy, whose name is Elliot. He's in need of home medical equipment, therapy sessions, and an adaptive wheelchair, amongst other things. Hams will be operating on a number of bands using different modes from 10:30 in the morning to about 5 p.m. local time. Lee told Newsline that operators are hoping to make as many on-air contacts as possible. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci, 4NJH.
Hams are often known for their endurance. Now, the endurance of one on-air net has landed the group in the record books. As we hear from John Williams, VK4JJW.
The BCDXNet has been a staple for Radio DX since November of 1988, when it began as something called the SWL DXNet. It can be found on 40 metres at 0300 UTC Sunday mornings. And now it can be found in the pages of the Golden Book of World Records, where it was recently recognised as the longest running net of its kind on the amateur radio bands. The International Record Book cites Sunil Deep VU3SIO, who has been its net controller since 1990. Sunil leads the discussion as hams check in and discuss details of DX station's operations around the world. Sunil was among the radio enthusiasts who began the original net with a group of friends, but his love of radio extends to other modes too. The retired senior bank manager notes on his QRZ page that he's not just active as a DXer on the HF bands, but can sometimes be found operating on Echolink. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
During one Maine community's test of its emergency shelter system, the crisis is simulated, but the radio response will be real. Here's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, with that story.
In Waldo County, Maine, officials believe that a culture of preparedness is the best defense when disaster strikes the region. To develop that culture further while bracing for the worst, the county's Emergency Management Agency will be conducting a mass care shelter exercise on the 9th and 10th of August at Mount View High School. Amateur radio will be front and center during the two-day exercise. The radio communications truck of the Waldo County Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Services will be on the air throughout the drill and will also be welcoming visitors to learn more about ham radio and the Waldo County Amateur Radio Association. The exercise will include a real disaster evacuation shelter, and some of the participants who will be role-playing as shelter residents will be members and leaders of local scout troops. Scouts will also receive guidance on earning merit badges for emergency preparedness, first aid, and, of course, radio communications. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
Our final story is about the revival of a well-used weak signal beacon and some feathers it temporarily ruffled. Here's Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Hams recently welcomed back the 10 GHz WSJT EME beacon in Germany, which had been off the air for quite some time. The beacon is a treasured resource among hams who engage in weak signal microwave communication using moon bounce. So return of the DL0SHF beacon was heralded on MoonNet, an email reflector reserved for discussion and announcements by moon bounce enthusiasts. Not so fast, however. This was a happy return that almost didn't happen. After repair work was completed by Charlie, G3WDG, Per Dudek, PE1ITR, part of the group who provides a fantastic facility for the microwave EME community, made an attempt to turn the beacon on, but the water cooling system wouldn't work. And yes, there was a reason. Five good reasons. Actually, six good reasons. After removing the cover from the beacon box, Per discovered a mother bird had nested in there with five of her chicks and had decided to call the box home. Per decided the beacon would have to stay off the air until Mum and the chicks opted to change residence. Having had their secret nest uncovered, that's just what they did, one day later. So as Mum and family took flight, so too did the beacon. The transmitter can be found at 10.368,025 MHz. That's 10.368025. The location of Mum and babies is hopefully a little less obvious. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
With thanks to Amateur News Weekly, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, David Behar, K7DB, David Granoff, K3AS, Lee Leyland, M0LGL, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ.com, Science Alert, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Todd Farrell, WE5TR, the Waldo Village Soup, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2019. All rights reserved.